Good day and welcome to the Vienna International Airport Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Judith Helenay. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call of Vienna International Airport. I'm glad to present you today the full year results. It's going to be presented by Mr. Ofner, our CFO. Mr. Ofner, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. As you are aware, we had our presentation about 2011 results, and I will start with a short presentation for you and go through the major issues. And once we started in September, it's 6 months from now, our main goal was to reshape the strategic focus of the company, and we started with cost reduction programs and productivity enhancement, and also we are looking for new opportunities for growth. So our main strategic goals are outlined in the presentation, and it's enhancing our competitivity. What we see now, especially after the new incentive program that was agreed in recent weeks, is that Vienna's position in regard of airport costs and tariffs is fortunately better than those of our main competitors in Munich, in Frankfurt and Zurich. So roughly we are 10 to 15% below the costs there, and this should also give an incentive for especially Lufthansa Group to continue growth in Vienna. Second bullet point is enhancing our earning power. We want to substantially increase our results in the next years, and due to that we plan to finance the investments, the outstanding investments, without additional debt or increasing our net debt position. And as you may be aware already from our last call, we reduced overall capex to 2015 from 650 to 590, and I'm very optimistic that we can further lower this amount due to the plannings ongoing. A very big issue for us is starting operations of Skylink, which will improve our service quality, and after the 5th of June, this will be the day when Skylink gets fully operational, and it's, yes, 2012, not another year. It's 5th of June 2012. After that, we will start to revitalize also the older parts of our terminals. Another pillar of our strategy is to further develop the non-aviation business. You might be aware that one of the weaknesses of Vienna Airport is the revenue we get from restaurants, from shopping, and other non-aviation activities. So until autumn, we will present a new plan how to utilize and develop the opportunities there. Overall, the Vienna Airport still is creating jobs, not Vienna Airport as a company, but the place as such, and especially the opening of Skylink and the additional shops and restaurants will use and need additional work staff. On the other hand, our plans for Vienna Airport as a company foresee for this year that we will not only absorb Skylink, but maybe end up in the end of the year with even a decrease of our workforce and the number of employees. What we are looking for, and we have a relatively positive outlook for 2012, despite all the difficulties in regard of economic weaknesses and the problems of our airline customers, is that we will continue our cost reduction package and that we will be able to at least partly offset the additional costs for Skylink by cost savings overall. And what is also very important from the standpoint now, we are pretty sure that the overall costs for the Skylink terminal will be fairly below 770 million. I mean, not everything has been closed so far with the companies working here, but we have a relatively good overview now, and so we are optimistic that we will be fairly below 770. As I already outlined, the CAPEX will be reduced, and we have plans to further get some reductions, mostly by reducing costs of planned projects, but also in minor issues by stopping investments or changing the plans to a more reliable cost. What is the effect of the cost cuttings of reductions in CAPEX, of lower tax rate for 2011, and also of reduction of our dividend, is that fortunately our net debt position will end up fairly below the 1 billion barrier that was foreseen in previous plans. So what we see now is that we can stay below 4 EBITDAs year-end 2012 or below 800 million euros. The net debt position right now is roughly 750, so it might be the case that we need some more funds throughout the year, but we are pretty sure that we will stay below 800 million, what means a gearing less than one and also at or slightly below 4 times EBITDA. What we still are working on are the damage claims related to Skylink, and we hope that at least in the case that is covered by insurance, we can reach an agreement before summer, and we will come back to our investors and the public once an agreement has been found. So given that as a framework, let me come back to the figures of 2011. We had the growth in the revenues up to 582 million and plus 9%, and this is mainly due to the higher amount of passengers, plus 7.2%, higher income from shops and real estate, and an increase in security tariffs. And the EBITDA rose to 189 million euros with a plus of 12.4. You may remember our announcements related to quarter three last year, where we pointed at the special effects and one-offs that are now part of the overall figures for 2011, and the special effects in total amount to roughly 90 million euros. And it's, to remember you, Skylink, office building, our Vöslau airfield, Airport Friedrichshafen, Airport Kosice, so our subsidiaries there, employee-related provisions, and they amount altogether to roughly 90 million. And what we see right now is that with all that measures, I think we could clean up our balance sheet, at least for the foreseeable time, so that we should not get big surprises with the other one-offs in short term. The cash flow from our operating activities reached 178.9 million. And you see the results overview with the detailed figures that EBITDA to EBIT, we had an increase in depreciation and amortization, and from EBIT to EBT, we had negative financial results due to the impairment of subsidiaries. Overall, the profit before taxes ended up with 45. Fortunately, we could reduce income taxes from 23 million in 10 to 13.5 in 11. So the net profit ended more or less where we gave the guidance at 31.6. The dividend recommendation that was accepted yesterday from our supervisory board and will be presented to the shareholders' assembly is €1 per share, which is a reduction of €1 compared with 2010. But given the profit after tax, it's 66.5% payout ratio, and the dividend yield is 3.4%. And what we said already in our last call and announcement is that for the future, our guideline will be that up to 40% or roughly 40% of our profit after taxes should go to our shareholders. So this will be the guideline for the next years. Equity is more or less unchanged because in 2011 the dividend was 42 million, result after tax was 31. So this 11 million you will find here that reduced the equity from 823 to 811. What we are presenting and we had presented yesterday to the supervisory board and today to the public are clear financial goals for 2012. Our outlook is cautiously optimistic. So in regard of the revenue, we expect higher than 600 million, EBITDA higher than 200 million, net profit higher than 50 million, and net debt should stay below 4 times EBITDA or 800 million. CapEx was 262 this year and should be reduced to 160 this year, maybe even a little bit less, as I explained, in regard of cost estimations for Skylink. What you see in this outlook is that we try to manage to absorb the result, negative effects for the result from Skylink opening. I mean, you may remember there are 7 months of depreciation, so roughly 30 million. There are roughly 20 million interest that have been activated before and which are now reducing our results. And we have a negative EBITDA effect in the first year because full year operation, more or less, or operational cost, but only 7 months revenue of roughly 10 million. What we see for 2013, given everything works as we plan, is that in 2013 the EBITDA effect from Skylink should be positive, maybe 5 to 10 million plus. Also, on the other side, depreciation will be fairly higher because for the full year it will amount roughly 60 million. So from this side to 2013, EBITDA will be affected positively. Overall result will be affected negatively, but we are keen and doing all we can to outweigh this effect to the utmost possible extent. We present to you also some figures regarding the segments, but maybe I should come back then later to your questions if you have specific questions for the segments. In general, you see on EBIT level the effects of the one-offs, so this is not a very good explanation in detail, but what we can especially address is that our business in the handling sector will be secured for the next years by a long-term contract with Austrian Airlines that is part of our package together with Austrian Airlines and Lufthansa Group for enhancement of Vienna Airport. In regard of our subsidiaries, we see continuous growth in Malta, 6.5% passengers, 11.4% in net profit, and it's a positive earning contribution. The same is true for Košice. Unfortunately, even in passengers, operating earnings of plus 1.2 million, but we had to impair this subsidiary, so the earning contribution for Vienna Airport was minus 13 million. And Friedrichshafen, unfortunately, still is producing losses, so we had written off our subsidiary there to 1 euro. What you might be interested in is how is the situation with Austrian Airlines. In this respect, it was a very good signal and message for the markets and also for us as a company that Lufthansa now finally decided to support Austrian Airlines with a capital contribution of 140 million euros. This should also enable Austrian Airlines to pursue the growth goals they have, especially in regarding of long haul. So the promise was of Lufthansa, and the goal of Austrian Airlines is to start new long haul destinations from Vienna in total with 4 planes, 2 in 13, 2 in 14, and this will positively contribute for both of us, for Austrian Airlines and for the airport. Now, what we did in our agreement with Austrian Airlines is that we expanded the incentive scheme for the next 5 years. We extended the handling agreement, and we agreed to start with a joint development of a Star Alliance hub in Vienna. So we will be on roadshow together with Star Alliance and Austrian Airlines to present Vienna as a long-haul destination, also to other Star Alliance partners. Because if you look at our figures, and especially at Austrian Airlines, you will see that long-haul is one of the weaknesses that has to be developed. And what I already pointed out is that our incentive model supports the growth strategies of all airlines, and we are continuously less expensive than Munich, Zurich, and Frankfurt. Now, what does this mean for our results? The incentive scheme that is also published on our website, once it is renewed now, is already part of the economic model and of our figures shown for 2012. And it is very specifically growth-related, so it will reduce additional revenues, but it will not affect the results now substantially. All what is the effect of that for our results will be absorbed by the measures taken. This situation is slightly different for the handling agreement because we are in direct competition in regard of the handling business, and the existing contract expires in end of 2012. So we had to reduce our costs there with a minor double-digit million amount. And please allow me not to specifically address the amount, but it's in the very low double-digit region. And what it means for our operations is that the already started restructuring process in the handling sector will continue, and we will also negotiate with our employees for a substantial contribution to that, so that overall we can also absorb the reduction of revenue from the handling side, and the effect in 2012 is also already built in the figures I presented to you. A very major event will be the start of operation of Skylink on the 5th of June. All necessary preparations and testings are ongoing, and from today's perspective, we are optimistic that everything will work as it should, and that all our Star Alliance passengers will start their travel on the 5th of June from Skylink. And what is also very important, that we will get 9,600 square meters of additional shopping and restaurants, and we will have very attractive new brands here in Vienna, so that we are optimistic that we can come closer to our peers, at least midterm, in regard of revenues from these non-aviation activities. The final preparations for the start of Skylink operations are proceeding at full speed. We had a lot of testing so far, and no showstopper was seen until now, so we hope that everything will work in the right way. So this is the presentation from my side. I have to apologize for my colleague, Mr. Jäger, but you can direct all your questions now directly.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from Jared Castle from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I've got three questions, please. First of all, you spoke a little bit about Austrian Airlines and their, you know, some of their growth plans on the long haul. But I think Lufthansa said last week in the results that they would be reducing capacity. You know, that Austrian Airlines would be flying less capacity than they did in 2011, in 2012. So any comments on that or you know, did I mishear? Secondly, just an update on Skylink, if you've got any money back from the contractors yet. And then just on handling, you know, just given the new contract, I guess the expectation is that the fees will be lower from ground handling going forward. Is that right?
Yes. Starting with your last question, the fees are lowered with a minor double-digit million amount compared to full year 11. But as I pointed out, we are working on compensation measures internally, and we will also have to ask our staff for some contribution in 2013 so that overall we can absorb the reduction, and it will not negatively affect beyond what you see in our outlook, our results. In regard of the contractors, we are in the final phase for the negotiations in regard of all the cases that are covered by insurance. In this aspect, we received an offer already from the insurance company, but I cannot give you now exact figures because this will be negotiated in the next weeks. And as I said before, I'm very optimistic that before the summer we could come to an agreement there. Other cases are now worked out on an expert level, and our main goal will be to find amicable agreements, because going to court, which might be the measure of last resort, and it might be inevitable if we do not come to an agreement, but is always associated with substantial cost risks. And I mean, what we will try to do is not to risk too much in costs in regard of that. Austrian Airlines, you are right, they are changing their fleet, and this will result in a reduction of four planes. Therefore, we had a very cautious outlook and still have a very cautious outlook in regard of passengers. What we saw in January and February was a growth of roughly 10%, which is mainly driven by transit passengers and only partly by local passengers, but also growth in local passengers. And what we are expecting is that once Austrian Airlines has started with taking out these four planes, that we will see maybe an even situation, slightly growth, but we are cautious still on that, and we can give maybe mid of May a better estimation about the rest of the year in regard of traffic. What we now built in our financial expectations is our traffic outlook from January with 0 to 1% growth.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Damien Brewer from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. Three questions, and hopefully relatively quick. On the net debt side, if you're limiting net debt growth in future, now you've got the majority of the Skylink capex behind you as you begin to generate increasing amounts of free cash. Where are your priorities in terms of allocating that cash? Will it be back to the dividend, maintenance capex, or other areas? Then a second, and it's really a sort of two-part question. The aeronautical business did very well with a 50% incremental EBITDA margin on its revenues, but I think it'd be fair to say the ground handling business, even before the new contract came in, was pretty dreadful, with what looks like revenue up by 5 million euros, but costs up by 21 million euros. What are the issues behind that on ground handling? And if your unit rate with Austrian Airlines is lower, how does that get better in future? And is there any benchmarking, for example, you've done with other airports on your cost per workload unit, where you can see some obvious easy gains in terms of efficiencies, or even areas where you're better than most already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, starting with your second question, strategically, we would like to pursue to do the handling on Vienna Airport on ourselves, because what you might be aware of is that Vienna Airport is the most punctual hub in the Lufthansa area, and we do not lose baggage, or you as a customer would not lose your luggage here. And also in other quality-related criterias, I think we are fairly good. And this we want to keep, but you know that there is a strict guideline and rule that does not allow any subsidy to the ground handling business from the other activities of the airport. So there is no way but to produce positive results there. We have done a lot of work in the last month related to benchmarking to optimize the processes there. And what we saw also in the negotiations and in our expertise is that we are very competitive in that regard. So I think we can preserve a high market volume, and it's roughly 88-89% of all handling activities on the airport for the next years, and we have even entered into long-term contracts with other partners. And on the other hand, what we foresee now is once all the efficiency measures are undertaken, that we will have positive results also in the forthcoming years. And what we have to ask our employees, and the negotiations are positive, and I think we can close it relatively soon, is that also from their side comes a substantial contribution in whichever form. So it might be a combination of one-time payment versus other elements, yeah, that are cost are increasing our costs, so that overall we hope to get a long-term effect from these measures of at least 6 to 7 million per year. And with all that measures, we can outweigh what we did for Austrian Airlines. On the net debt side, our midterm goal before we start maybe with the third runway as one of the major projects, that we reach roughly 2.5 EBITDA as our net debt position, maybe in 15, in 16. And our first priority would be to, if we have room to do it, and if our research is positive, that is undergoing and performed right now, that we will add a landside shopping facility to the existing facilities of the airport, because there we have a real good chance to substantially increase our revenues. The spendings per customers are pretty low compared to our peers, and therefore activities there would be our first priority.
And can I just ask, you did what about a 3.2% return on capital last year? Why do you envisage a need to build a third runway potentially in that sort of 5-10 year period?
That's very simple, because we are now at roughly 22 million passengers, and with the existing capacity, we can serve maybe 30 million, maybe a little bit more than 30 million. From the terminal capacity, we could serve substantially more passengers, because 22 we could serve already with the existing facilities. Now SkyLink is added, but the limiting factor then is runway capacity, and we will see how things develop. It is not envisaged that any decision for the investment will be taken before 2015 or even 2016, but we have to look a little bit ahead in the future, and therefore we are pretty sure that it will be a very good competitive advantage for Vienna if we have the chance to build another runway. Because if you look at things in Frankfurt, in Zurich, in London, you see that throughout Europe, one of the real limiting factors of the next years will be lack of capacity of airport runways. So if we would be in the position that we get all permits and licenses to do that, this would be a very valuable asset. But what I can assure you is we will not do it before it is economically viable and before we are sure that our growth expectations will be in a way that this investment is necessary. But what was a little bit discussed earlier, what we see now is that the terminal capacity will reach then for at least 10 more years. So another terminal capacity will not be necessary, given that the 4% average growth in passengers will be the amount for the next years. The passenger capacity will be enough maybe for 2030 or even beyond. So from this side, I think we are now in a very good position.
Okay, I'm sure it's a topic we'll come back to. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll now take our next question from Bernd Maurer from RCB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Bernd Maurer, Raiffeisen Central Bank. Some questions
Hello.
I do have. First, Mr. Ofner, thank you for all the, especially the willingness to the clarification for a lot of figures, which are important for our work. I appreciate the new form of the presentation and so on.
Thank you.
One thing you spoke about depreciation charges and interest costs for the new terminal. Did I got it right? Depreciation charges, 30 million for 2012 and 60 million from 2013 onwards. Was this right?
Yes.
Yep, thank you.
Roughly. It's not the very exact figure,
yep.
But it's work in progress. So it will be adapted slightly in this way or in another way, but roughly it's exactly what I said, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Then second, you said before that Austrian Airlines is going to take out 4 planes. What's the indication of the time frame? Is this do they take it out with the summer schedule at the end of this month now, or sometime in between?
Earlier than the summer schedule, but unfortunately, I cannot give you more information we have. So we don't have exact information now when this will happen. It was announced for the summer schedule,
yeah.
But it is more or less tomorrow. So
mm-hmm. Correct.
We have not received schedules or things like that so far that already show this. So we have also to look at it as you, and there is a slightly moment of uncertainty in that,
yeah.
When it will happen. But
yeah.
That it will happen, I think, is definitely decided.
Okay. Then on the agreement with Austrian Airlines, you in the annual report you wrote about the increase of the transfer incentive from €10.20 to €11.34. And you said that the new tariffs are not published yet. Can you speak of the change of landing tariffs and infrastructure tariffs from in 2012 versus 2011?
Yeah, it's not substantial. It's especially incentive for long haul. So
mm-hmm.
we slightly increase. The incentive for the first year, it's 100%, it was 80% so far, and things like that. So that's
mm-hmm.
not very, very substantial. On the other hand, the transfer incentive, in fact, last year was already 1180. So
yeah.
It's not a real improvement related to last year, but
mm-hmm.
It gives some additional incentive for further growth. So if Austrian Airlines would grow more than the 3% that were built in so far, then the incentive can even go beyond the 1150 or 1180 and so on.
Okay.
So the whole scheme is very much interlinked with the growth perspectives that are also part of the plans of Austrian Airlines.
Okay, I understand. And finally, one more question related to the tariffs. Did overall tariffs before any incentives, did they rise again by a rate of 1% to 1.5% or were there any cuts?
0.81 for 12 for the landing tariff, infrastructure and parking. And passenger tariff increased by 0.39, and infrastructure tariff fueling increased by 0.68%. So very slightly, but it's also a little bit of additional revenue.
Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll now take our next question from Alex Brignall from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, afternoon. Thank you very much for the call. Just two questions. Firstly, on Skylink, I wonder if you could just give any more granularity on the impact you think that could have on retail spend, average retail revenues there. Also, with regards to the third runway decision, do you take any concern from the situation we've seen at Frankfurt in terms of filling slots there? Yes, just those two questions, please.
To your second question, I mean, we are very closely looking at what is going on in Frankfurt, and we are very happy that in Vienna the situation is different, because we already did our agreement with the neighboring communities in regard of restrictions of night flights, and fortunately we do not have a discussion like it is now ongoing in Frankfurt. But you are right, if there are restrictions now imposed in Frankfurt, this could at least slightly improve our positions and could maybe bring flights to Vienna that are now served from there. In regard of the third runway, I would point out that the special procedure that has to be performed under Austrian law ensures already in the first stage of the project that all stakeholders and all interest groups are included in the decisions. So our mediation contract that was signed with the city of Vienna, with the federal country of Lower Austria, with all the initiatives that are monitoring the noise and the movements on the airport, and all our neighboring communities, I think all major issues are addressed and are more or less solved. So yes, there might be some protests and some discussions, but from the legal side, I think all the homework has been done, and we have now to wait for the decision of the authorities. The decision in first instance is expected maybe for mid to 12, so it will come later than it was previously expected, and the second instance decision, I would assume, cannot be expected earlier than autumn 13 or even spring 14. And once this decision we get, we will need 1 or 2 years for planning and all preparations, so that an investment decision realistically will be maybe second half of 15 or even 16 the earliest. Retail revenues, we had our plans for this year are roughly for rentals and retail revenues in Skylink 20 million euros for 7 months. And for the full year then, to 2013, it should be at least double of this figure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, to ask a question in today's question and answer session, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take our next question from Ruxandra Harder-Gutdusser from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Ruxandra Harder-Gutdusser with Kepler. I have one question, with respect to the third runway. How high do you estimate the cost for this runway?
You will have to be a little bit cautious on that, because we are still now working on a first estimation, and without getting at least a decision in first instance, it is not very advisable to give any figure, because what exactly will be part of the decision, we have to wait and to see once it is made. So the best guess is that in the course of autumn, we will be in the position to give a more detailed overview what we would expect under the circumstances of the first instance decision as the overall investment cost of this project. But it will not realistically be available before autumn.
Okay. Well, in any case, it would be a major investment. And it is an investment, a project that is important for the airport. It is important for the airlines that operate at the airport. But it is extremely important for the city of Vienna. Do you see the opportunity that the city of Vienna will build this runway and you will run it under concession? Is this an option for you?
It's in any case, it's a good idea. And I mean, let's see what the cost position is, what we can see in regard of economic feasibility. Frankly speaking, I'm not expecting that they will build it and we will rent it, but maybe we find other ways how contributions of our main shareholders could lower the burden for us. But it's too early to speculate about it. In any case, we will do our best to get into a position that we can decide on such an investment on a firm ground, and we can be sure that it pays off with the cost of capital plus reward in profit that we can expect.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Nick Edelman from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had one quick question, which was a follow-up on the ground handling. You talked about the compensation measures looking for a contribution from 2013. Just, I mean, what kind of cost measures or what scale of cost measures do you think you can implement in 2012?
2012, I would say, is not very challenging because the contract will not start before 4th of July. So the effects are much lower. And we have so far reduced employment there by roughly 100 people. And we had also undertaken other measures. So we can pretty well absorb that for 12. The real substantial effect then will come 13, and as I already pointed out, our expectation is that we get the contribution from our employees in regard of wage increases or delayed wage increases of at least 6.5 million.
That's very clear, thanks.
Similarly to the other measures that are undertaken to secure profitability.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Johannes Braun from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, Johannes Braun, Commerzbank. Hello. Just one quick question. Hi. Just one quick question on your incentive scheme for the airlines. You said that you will expand that, but you also said that you already are the lowest airport in the Lufthansa network, so I'm not really understand why another expansion of the incentive scheme is really necessary.
Yeah, it is necessary if you relate it to the tariffs, because we want to support growth measures like for long distance haul connections, and also we want to support the attempts of Austrian Airlines to increase transfer passengers through Vienna. So if this comes, then we also have additional revenues. So it's not a gift for anybody. it's as the wording says, it's a real incentive to do additional flights through Vienna or to fill flights that are going to Vienna better than previously. What we already saw now in January and February, yeah, where we have a substantial growth with transit passengers, and this is a policy, especially from Austrian Airlines, we will support.
Okay, yeah, just because I thought the old program already did that.
Yeah, but it's now slightly increased in the way that if additional growth is coming, the incentive is even higher.
Even higher, okay.
And the the major point, maybe I didn't point that out, is that this scheme would end. So it's a prolongation and it's an improvement.
Okay.
So it's securing also for our airline customers, at least for the forthcoming years, what they can rely on and what they can expect in regard of these types of incentives.
And it's not only applying to Austrian Airlines, but also to the other ones?
No, it's applying to everybody, to all airlines who are operating here in Vienna.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
For your information, there are no further questions in the queue.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. Should you have any further questions, please feel free to get back to us. As you know, the investor relations team is always at your service. And here I would like to end the conference call and thank you. Have a nice afternoon. Goodbye.
Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.